Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
I am Fitz Kohler, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. Today, I want to talk about you. It's always about you, and I thought, why not have a show about you? It's been a unique week here at Fitness, and you know, it's interesting. When I first met my agent, he yelled at me because when he went to fitness.com, there were no photos of me. And he was mad because he said, how do I promote you to corporations if they can't even see who you are? And my response to him was, well, Fitness is not about me. Fitness is about them. And that's why I like to highlight. And so there's always success stories on my website and articles and information that help you become more fit today. And he said, bogus. This is about what you bring to these people. And they have to get to know you. It's not just see your face, but they need to know who you are and know your backstory and know all the struggles you went through. And then they'll trust you and then they'll want more. And I appreciated that. But and I complied. So if you go to fitness.com now, you'll see me. You'll see me ad nauseum. However, in my heart, it's always about you. It just is. It's who I am. I live and breathe for you and your success. And it's what makes me who I am. And there are so many careers where people get rewards and plaques and trophies and free trips to wherever. And that's great. But my rewards are happy people living happier in their genes and, you know, just doing better and accomplishing more and feeling great. So it is what it is. And that makes me a nerd, I guess, but I've found my calling and I'm desperately in love with what I do, and I'm so grateful to those of you who let me in. And so this week has been, it's been very wonderful. I've had a lot of wonderful things happen, and I've had one heartbreaking thing happen. And so I'm going to start with that, and I'll tell you that I am the race announcer for the Goddess Series and Michigan. It's Epic Races puts on a series of women's races called the Goddess Racing Series, and it's wonderful. It started off last year. I was their announcer for the Detroit Women's Half Marathon and 5K, and I'll be back next weekend for that. But the second race I announced for them was the Ann Arbor 5K, which landed on Mother's Day, and each of their races support a different cause. And so the Detroit Women's Half Marathon sports the American Heart Association, and this race in May, on Mother's Day, May 8th, supported MYOCA, which is a Michigan Ovarian Cancer Awareness Organization. And so we had about 1,500 participants in this 5K, and I would say about 20 of them were designated as ovarian cancer patients or survivors. And so these women came through with sashes on that helped me recognize them, and it actually helped everybody recognize who they are. And it was, you know, usually many times during a race, I'm up on a riser very high up in the air. And so I get to interact with the crowd, but it's also the riser offers the benefit of 20,000 people being able to see me and engage with me and me engage with them. But then there's a disconnect because I can't physically touch people and so forth. And so this race, I was on the ground, which was wonderful. And we were all decked out in our teal tutus and teal stuff, which is the ovarian cancer color. And I had these women come through. I mean, a whole bunch of people. But the women in the sashes, what I was able to do at the start line is if they were walking, and most of them were, I was able to put the microphone up to their face and say, who are you? Tell me about you. And you'd hear, I'm Susan and I'm ovarian cancer survivor of 12 years and so forth. And one of the women who came through, Heather Cook Gilbeau, she came through and said, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in January. I'm a mother of two and I just had my first chemotherapy session last week. And wow, who does that? Who says, you know what? I've got cancer. I got chemo late April. Let's sign up for a 5K. But Heather did that. And she had already either cut her hair or it had started falling out. So she had a real tight crew cut and her hair was normally long. So she looked like a patient. But she came through and I got to meet her and I said, well, go have a great race, Heather. And she trotted off very proudly. And so I met many other women, some young women with young children, survivors already of this mean disease. And so they all ran the race or walked the race and came back through. And I tried to greet every one of them with a hug and hold their hand and cheer them through the finish line and just make sure everybody knew who they are, why we were there, and support them. And Heather really resonated with me. Heather was something special, and the pride on her face, the pride in her eyes was something very impressive. And she was very defiant about her ovarian cancer. And so I greeted Heather on the way back to the finish line with a hug, called everybody's attention to her, and led her through the finish line. And it was really exciting to see. And that's one of the great luxuries of what I do, is I have the honor of working with people who are better than I am, who do better, who mean more. And she was one of those. And so I spoke with Heather a little bit after the race and, told her I was looking forward to seeing her next year. And I was excited about seeing her next year because I knew she was going to make it. And we connected on Facebook shortly after, and we've kept in touch. Greg Sadler, the Epic Races photographer, he took some beautiful pictures, and there was a couple of great ones of Heather and a really nice one of me bringing Heather across the finish line, which I've used as my cover photo a few times just because I'm so proud of her. And every now and then I would think of her and put the Facebook cover up and just say, hey, Heather, how's it going? And I know last time we had talked, she had had to stop treatment because she was so sick and they needed to get her well before continuing. And earlier this week, I was notified that she passed away. So it was a rough week. And, I only had the luxury of spending a little bit of time with Heather, but I know for those where she was embedded in their life, she meant so much. And she has two beautiful boys and a wonderful husband, and my heart breaks for them. And my heart breaks for me a little bit too, because I felt strongly I knew she would be there next year. I just knew it, and maybe I just wanted it. Maybe I was just an idiot, but she was a really special person. And, I'm sad. I'm sad for me. I'm more sad for everyone in her family. I'm sad for women everywhere who aren't yet graced with this early detection mechanism for such a mean disease. But Heather was on my mind all week. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see in one of my Facebook covers, Heather and I. And really, she's the face of bravery for me right now. She did it. You know, she, from her hospital bed, would take selfies. And I don't know. I'm at a loss for words for a person who talks a lot, but I wanted to tip my crown to Heather and thank her for that opportunity to spend that day with her, and thanks for inspiring us, because she sure as hell did. And I promise that I will do better on her behalf as a race announcer, as a mother, as a person, and I will never miss a checkup for anything. And so Heather, see you soon, right? Or someday. And then I get my whole day is full of you all. And I'm going to move on to some happier things. But here's the deal, is everybody's having struggles. You know, when it comes to weight loss, it's a very personal thing. But sometimes I know you feel like the world is on your shoulders and everything that's going wrong is compounded because you're not the perfect weight or you're not the perfect athlete that you'd like to be. And that's not okay. Your weight only affects you. This is something that is your deal. And I want you to know that all the good in your world all the good that you do does not get ignored because, you know, you're 15 pounds extra or 500 pound extra. None of that matters if you're being a good person. And I certainly don't want your weight and this stuff to be a burden on top of the other things you do, because I know you're making an effort. The fact that you listen to me and my big bossy mouth every week means you're making an effort. And all your little choices you make daily, they matter. And I've said it for a long time, but when I look for inspiration, I never, ever, ever look at our fastest people, our strongest people, our best jumpers, spinners, ball players. None of those people resonate with me. Now, mind you, I get it and I admire it, but they don't inspire me. The people that inspire me are the everyday people who are shoveling through loads of crap to do better. The ones who put on their game face and get out in the morning wearing two knee braces while their feet are covered with blisters and their back pain. Those are the people that, you know, make me soar. And so I wanted to talk about some of you today and some of the messages I've had and how you affect me, but really how there's so many of you all together and you're not alone. I received a message earlier this week that I'd like to read to you. It's from a woman who says, "I have been listening to your podcast and crying on my way to work. See, both of my boys are on the autism spectrum and they are both having their worst times ever at the same time. I feel so defeated and disappointed in myself that I am at an unhealthy weight, a bad role model, and that I have not been able to be successful in helping them. The other day, I had the conversation with my oldest son that you scripted for me about making healthier choices. We are going to do refined sugar every other day while we make the transition. Here is a picture of the calendar for tracking. Your voice, it builds me up for 30 minutes when everyone else is tearing me down. You are a blessing to me." And so she ripped my heart out because, you know, parenthood is hard. Parenthood is hard in general. And then you have kids who are dealing with obstacles and challenges. And you know what? All kids can be challenges. But she seems to have a unique situation on her hands. And things have been tough. And apparently the boys haven't had a good report, haven't had a quote-unquote good day in a couple of weeks. And so I reached out to her and let her know that I was there for her and I am rooting for her. And, you know, motherhood is hard and I'm so proud of her for making these good decisions. She's all of a sudden starting to change. And, you know, it sounds like obviously she's a fantastic mother to begin with because she cares and she's trying to do better. And the fact that she had that scripted conversation with the boys saying, you know what, now that mommy knows better, we're going to do better. And I love you and I love your bodies and I want you to be healthy for life and that matters to me. So we're all going to make changes together. Well, that puts her on the top of the pack. But we had a really nice conversation. It was via Facebook Messenger. And she's going to try and bring the morning mile to her school. That's my B4 school children's running program. So her boys can start each day with exercise, and exercise has been proven to work as successfully as ADD medicine. So starting a day with the morning mile is certainly a way to ensure your kids have a great day at school, calm down, and behave better. But all of a sudden, her son got involved in the conversation, and she showed me a picture of him looking at my morning mile website, which was adorable. And then he sent me she sent me an image of him, kind of a selfie with the cutest big smile face. So I sent him a big selfie with my big smile and we started interacting. And so he's now working towards filling up a sticker sheet of Star Wars stickers. That's right. A good behavior sheet. And once he gets all the good behavior stickers, I told him I would send him a Star Wars present and I'll be happy to do that. But, you know, there's this mom and she's just... she's one of you. She's one of us. She's struggling. And her outlet that she knows is going to help take her to the next level of happiness and comfort for her and her boys is fitness. And so she also posted later in the week that she had just walked 1.2 miles or something like that. And you know what? Huge step forward. That's it. It dawned on her that this was something she needed to do as a family, and now she's doing it, and it's already making a positive impact in their life. And so if you're in a similar situation, you know, don't deny the benefits of just going for a walk, choosing healthier food, getting some rest. All of those things count. And again, you are not alone. And maybe you and I won't have a personal conversation one day. That's fine. But know I'm there for you and know that you have other people there for you. And if you join, you know, meet me on Fitness on Facebook, or we have our support, our challenge group. It's the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge Group on Facebook, but it's about 700 of the nicest people you'll ever want to meet. Average Joes and Janes just trying to do better, be better, lose weight, do some races, you know, get fitter, feel better in their clothes. And that's what it's all about, is supporting each other. And if you feel alone, don't, because I'm there for you and they are too. Next up, I want to talk about my buddy Brian Solberg. Brian, I'm going to have as a guest on the Fitness Show at some point when he's not so busy. And he's always busy, so I don't know if that'll ever come about. But Brian is an incomplete quadriplegic. He's an anesthesiologist who was hit by a drunk driver many years ago. He calls that his spine-iversary. And so instead of doing nothing, fortunately, he has the ability to walk and do all sorts of great things. He has some tremors, a little weakness with muscle control, and he wears, I think, 3 braces on one leg, 1 brace on the other. I forget. But all you look at when you see Brian, all you see is the smile. But with that excuse, mind you, he will send, and often does, and a photo of his x-ray with the pins up in his C1, C2 vertebrae. And he is lucky he's alive, and he's lucky he can move. But boy, does he ever take full advantage of his ability to move. This is a man, I could be wrong, but I believe he's completed, since his spineiversary, the day he was hit, 100 marathons, something preposterous like that. And many of them have been in a chair. But many of them, and I do mean many, have been on foot. And this is a man who I believe did the Dopey event at Walt Disney World, which is a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon, all within 4 days. And I have seen him saunter across full marathon finish lines with this, oh my gosh, the greatest smile you ever want to see. And he wears a hat. I'm not sure if it's a lobster or a crab. I think it's a lobster. And I think he originally wore it so his son could spot him out on the courses. If I'm getting this wrong, Brian, we'll talk about it when I interview you officially. But what an inspiration. This guy kills me. He has every excuse in the world to go, nah, I can't do that. It hurts. Or BS, man. He is charging hard towards the finish line. And what a blessing. He makes me feel motivated. He makes me feel excited about not only exercise, but life in general. Not only that, but he is a Cub Scout leader, Boy Scout leader. He's constantly swearing boys in as Eagle Scouts. I guess that's what, I don't know if swearing them in is the right term, but shockingly inspirational. And boy, is he, he's just a breath of fresh air, and he's so full of joy. And I do believe 100% that he's a naturally happy person, as am I, but I believe that all of this athletic adventure he includes in his life is really what makes him ooze joy. He's just, yeah, I look at him as the perfect person. Now, I don't live with him. I'm sure he leaves his socks on the floor or something, or squeezes his toothpaste the wrong way. But wow, I love Brian, and you would love Brian too. So we're going to have to get him on the air. And then next, I got my Stefaniacs. This is Katie and Jason. I met this couple from Michigan about a year and a half ago. I was presenting, probably teaching strength training for runners clinic at Walt Disney World Marathon, and I believe they were there doing their first marathon. And again, Katie and Jason, if I'm screwing this up, I'm sorry. There's a lot of people, and I tend to butcher details. But they became, you know, loyal fitness fanatics and have followed along with my guidance ever since. And when about that time, I launched the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. And again, I'm teaching people the exact formula for weight loss, the stuff you guys know. If you don't know it, go look exact formula for weight loss up on fitness.com or listen to my former episode on the subject. I think that's episode 2 or 3. But since they joined on, let's see, Jason has lost 60-something pounds, and he went from a size 42 jeans down to size 34 jeans, and now he's wearing a medium shirt, which is insane. He's such a regular guy now. Not only, that's a lie, he's not regular, he's super fit, which blows my mind. And then Katie, oh my gosh, Katie, she has gone from size 18 jeans to size 10 jeans, which not only, again, is regular, but she's super fit too. They do half marathons. They do, I think they do a 5K every weekend. And this is a couple, you know, they have modest income jobs, but they work hard together. They have a lovely home. They're the most sweet, loving, supportive couple I've ever met in my entire life. And they are humble and they are appreciative and they are fun and they have a family that does not support their efforts to be healthy, and their family makes it challenging on them, and they stand in defiance of their overweight family members and said, "You can have it. I'm done with being overweight and unhealthy." And so here's the Stefaniak story is I come home last night and I turn on the computer and right on Facebook pops up this these spectacular photos of them in their new jeans. And if I sound like I'm bouncing out of I'm bouncing out of my chair because I squeal. They just went denim shopping. That was it. That was the big thrill of my day yesterday. But these two put on jeans, size 10, size 34. And holy crap, they look amazing in these jeans. And they had the flannel shirts. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm half redneck. I'm from South Florida and I was raised with rap music and the sunshine and the surfboard. But yeah. I love the country stuff, and oh, they look so great in their jeans, and I could just bubble over with pride and, you know, joy for them because they're doing it, and they're doing it together, and I can't wait. I get to see them next weekend when I'm in Detroit announcing the Detroit Goddess Half Marathon. They're both going to do half marathon, and I'll get to start them off at the start, welcome them through the finish, but we're all going to have dinner together Friday evening, and I cannot wait to get my arms around them and give them a big hug because I love them. I'm so proud of them. They're like my kids. You guys are like my kids. That's the thing. I'm the fitness mommy. It's a little nerdy, but that's kind of how I view myself. Like, you're all my kids and I get to take care of you. And we got the Stefaniaks coming and Carol's coming and Rob's coming. Oh, Abigail. We have a bunch of people coming, but I'm thrilled. So the Stefaniaks and their jeans. That's all you need to know. They look gorgeous, and I'm thrilled. And so next up is Brian Marks. Brian Marks I also met at, I think it might have been that January presentation at Disney. If not, it was Princess or Wine and Dine or something like that. But he came and took one of my presentations. Actually, that's a lie. Brian reached out about the Morning Mile. He's a middle school PE teacher. So we had been chatting before I met him at Disney World, but he jumped on my exact formula for weight loss, joined the Hottie Body Challenge, started doing the workouts I guided him through, doing my strength training for runners routine. And this is a guy who was running but struggling. He's lost over 50 pounds. And he looked like regular guy before with, you know, he had a pudgy stomach. Now he's lean. Now he's angular. His face is angular. He's in rock star shape, and he's carved 90 minutes off of his marathon. 90! Stupid! It's so stupid. 90 minutes off his marathon. So this is cool. So Brian pays it forward. He's helped other people in my Hottie Body Challenge prepare for races and run it with them. He's a wonderful man who obviously is dedicated to healthy living the way he's a PE teacher, and the kids love him and my daughter loves him. I've worked with him in Wisconsin and he's just a doll. And his wife's a doll too, but she needs to watch her eating habits, don't you, Debbie? If you're listening, Debbie, which I know you are, it's time. It's time to get serious about that. Martial artist, it'll make you a few pounds down will make it easier for you to jump kick people in the face, and that's something to aim for. But here's my best Brian Marks moment. So Brian Marks, we run into each other. It's about, I don't know, a year and a half ago at the Star Wars Half Marathon in Disneyland in California. And I'm running the race, and I'm still recovering from an old kickboxing injury. My hip is angry. My knee is angry. I had just run the Walt Disney World Half Marathon in Florida the week prior. So even at the start of this race, I just was mad. But I got about mile 9 or something, and Brian trots up. And so I was pretty cranky. I think at this point I was walking. And he comes over and he hangs with me, and I think we walk run about a mile together. But the best part of my day is when Brian said, "Gotta go," and he took off and passed me and ran. And I just, that's what you want, right? You want your kids to be better than you, right? And I was so happy for him. And I was like, "Brian, thanks for spending the time with me. Sorry I've been cranky, but go. And he did, and it was wonderful to watch his back disappear in the distance. He's such a stand-up man. He always wears his Mickey Miler shirt. He's a fun guy. And then on to my girlfriend, Jackie Donaldson. Jackie I met over 10 years ago. She's a neighbor, and she reached out while she was being treated for breast cancer. And her father wanted to treat her to a personal trainer because she was weak. You know, she had been undergoing chemo. I believe she had a lumpectomy, and then she was undergoing the chemo and radiation for a while, and then she was just on a chemo pill, but she was very weak. And so her and her mother would come in and train, and poor Jackie. I mean, poor everybody going through a situation like this. She was so weak that we would do 3 lunges and take a break. That was it. 3 lunges or 3 push-ups, take a break. 3 of this. And it wasn't a 1 set of 10. Some people think, oh, that's not enough. Well, when you're undergoing chemotherapy, 3 of something is enough. But I was able to help her gain her strength and endurance. And if she started training with me in April, I think it was April. I'm just guessing. It's been a long time. But she had previously done the October Breast Cancer Awareness Walk here in Gainesville, and she walked it as a patient, and this time we ran it, and we ran the whole race together. And one of my proudest moments as a fitness professional was that moment where we got towards the finish line, and I pulled back and just let her have the finish line to herself and go through it. And she was the first survivor to cross the finish that day. And man, just to watch this woman turn her life around, and she did grow strong and she did build endurance, and so very proud of her. And so she lives in my neighborhood, and I see her walking. She still walks. She's always on the go. And I don't think she has any idea that I beam with pride every time I see her. She's an extraordinary mother. She's an extraordinary editor. She's a really great person. She has been very generous with her time and the morning mile. But when I see this woman, all I see is her crossing that finish line. And I think she's got this breast cancer thing beat. It's been a long time, and she's helping others be better for her experience. You know, she shares her experience, and whether people have cancer or not, she's really good at helping people grow. And so another person that thrills me to death. You know, we've talked about the Morning Mile a few times, and again, if you're unaware, I own the Morning Mile, which is a B4 school walking running program. I have it in almost 200 schools around the USA, Canada, Japan. I'm in preschool through high school, and it's the only program in the nation that invites every child to participate every day of the school year, weather permitting. No cost to the student, no cost to the school. It's funded generously by corporate America or individuals. And so it's very inexpensive. For $1,400, a person or a business can get an entire school started with this running program where everyone participates every single day, and the benefits are endless. We have some schools that do 30,000 miles a year. Lump sum, I can tell you that we have 13 states out of our 3 countries participating, and they've run over 2 million miles. So I couldn't be prouder about that. And if you can imagine, by the time I'm up at 8 o'clock every morning, knowing that there's, 20,000 kids across the country out running, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel like a productive part of society. But the kids are the best, because they come out no matter what. And what's great about the Morning Mile is if you have a school at 800, often you'll see 200 kids out each morning. And yes, you'll get the jocks. You get the soccer players and the tennis players and the lacrosse kids. But then you get the chess kids and the band kids, and the kids probably, you know, the ones whose parents go, oh, you're not coordinated, you can't do sports. We get those kids. And why? Because they can walk and they can run and they can skip and they can trot. And as long as they can move forward, that's great. And when I say as long as they can move forward, I mean it, because we have tons of Morning Milers out there that do it with walkers and wheelchairs. And if that isn't the most breathtaking thing you'll ever see, I don't know what is. And And I love all my morning milers. I seriously, the problem with this program is that I physically can't get to every school and hug every child. And boy, would I be the creepy thing if I were out there on every field hugging all the kids every day, which I desperately want to do. And some of them volunteer hugs for me, which I very much appreciate. And it never goes unnoticed. But we have so many children with special needs doing the morning mile. We've got locally one of my favorites is a little girl named Becca. She's her parents are family friends, but Becca went to elementary school with my son and daughter, and she has Down syndrome. And she is the funniest, most sarcastic, witty person I've ever met. And I do believe one day Becca will be a comedian on Comedy Central or HBO. She's that wicked funny. But when the morning mile first started at her school, I believe she was in fourth grade, maybe third. No, she was third grade. And so she would come out and her aide would bring her out. And so here's the deal with kids with Downs is they're prone to obesity. They're prone to heart disease. And so many parents will, you know, if they have access to the morning mile, they make the aide take their child to do at least one or two laps or just stay the whole time. And so Becca was being forced to do the morning mile. And I was always out there every day with my children, and she would get halfway around the field or the track, and she would hide in a bush. Hey, Becca, what you doing back there? Nothing. And people would have to go hunt her down, fish her out. She wasn't very happy, and that continued for a while. But every day we'd pass her hiding in the bush. Hey, Becca, time, why don't you come out and walk and run? No. And then one day after the morning mile, I was just randomly talking with her. How's it going, Becca? Blah, blah, blah. And I go, Becca, you know, I bet you could do two laps. And because this is what I heard, the aide said, only one lap. She only has to do one lap. And that's nice, but why not do more if you can? So being the master manipulator I was trying to be, I go, hey, Becca, you're so fast. I bet you can do two laps. She goes, yeah, I can. I said, well, why don't you do two laps? She goes, because I'm going to do three laps. All right, let's see that. And from there on, Becca came out every day and rocked the morning mile. And what a fun little thing, because not only would she do the morning mile, but I'm, once again, the weirdo out there with the camera taking pictures of all the kids. She became my fashion model morning miler and strutted down. Anytime I'd pull out the camera, one hand on the hip, one hand on the head, which is apparently the way you're supposed to pose if you're a cool person. And she would actually ask, she'd run up behind me and say, hey, aren't you gonna take video of me today? And you better believe if I had my phone, we would be doing video of Becca. But what a delight, you know, just to be able to get a kid who's nervous or uncomfortable doing something out and about. And, you know, unfortunately, access to inclusive activities and sports isn't what it should be at this point. And so it's really special that the Morning Mile allows that. We have kids, a little guy, friends with my son, Chase, who runs with his diabetes pump. And, you know, the morning mile is a great prevention tool for diabetes and other diseases, but it's a great management tool for kids suffering that disease because with diabetes, you have to manage every move you make, every bite you take. And so that was a really cool thing to see Chase out there. And he's so athletic. Gee whiz. My own son, Parker, my own daughter, Ginger, they both have asthma. They have it in very different ways, but it's been a blessing to our family to have them out there running. Ginger would do about 150 miles a year. Parker in fourth grade did 600 miles, 614 miles in 1 year. And that's 4 miles a day in 30 minutes. Fast, disciplined. And if you can imagine, not only showing up or just planning to run 4 miles every day, but to run 4 miles every day at 7 o'clock on the dot without leeway. And so he would do that. And this is a kid who traditionally gets pneumonia twice a year. And so he would have pneumonia in January, and he would still go out to the morning mile, and he would walk slow. And we would have every breathing apparatus out there available in case he needed it. But we're supposed to, quote-unquote, let them live with asthma. And so we did. We monitored him like a hawk. We forced him to slow down. But, man, that's impressive to see the determination in his eyes and I was a very proud mother, and I'm just very proud to see him out there. And then I would say, every day of the year, there's probably some little kid out on a morning mile field with a sling or a broken arm. And they're just the cutest little things walking and running with their cast. And, you know, the kids, they're limitless. They have a funny attitude about things, one which we should all adopt. And I think Brian Solberg has this attitude. But I always say when I'm telling people about the morning mile is, you know, as adults, we go, we've got to run, or I have to run. I have to run today. The kids, they don't have to run. They get to run. To them, running is a privilege. It's a luxury. If the morning mile is canceled because of weather, oh, what a bunch of cranky little kids you'll have for the rest of the day. And so I love their perspective. I love the fact that they get up, they look forward to it. It makes them feel happy. It makes them feel energetic. And some of them, it's hard for them to put into words, but it decreases their stress. Just makes them feel more confident. And that's a pretty extraordinary thing, extraordinary lesson to be learned. And so for those of you out there, let's do it. Let's use fitness as the tool to fix your life. And we're not buying shakes and pills and all that snake oil. I'm talking about waking up each day and putting one foot in front of the other, or getting on the ground and doing some stretches or some push-ups or some burpees or some lunges. It could be wee little exercises that you think are wimpy, but I assure you, it will change. You know, we talk a lot about races. I talk a lot about races. And it's not that participating in races is the only way to go, but it's one of the most convenient ways to exercise. You know, having a pair of running shoes on and going for a walk or going running, that's the only equipment you need. You don't have a paddle, a bat, you don't require a team, a coach, a facility. You just need your sidewalk or a patch of grass and you can go for a walk or run. It's the largest sport in the world because it's the only sport that will accommodate 50,000 people in one event. Can't do that in a tennis match. Can't get 50,000 people to play tennis together, or football, or baseball, or you name it. But walking and running races is something we can all do. And so if you don't think you're fast enough, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You know, I tell people that if you can walk around the mall for an hour, you can do a 5K. And that's a fact. And yes, you can walk. People think that's a taboo thing, that you can't walk during races. Nobody cares when you come in. If you go to a big event like a half marathon or a full marathon and they've closed down roads and they're hiring law enforcement to secure safety, then yeah, sometimes they'll cut you off and say you have to be done with the half marathon within 4.5 hours or something. But for the most part, there's no such rule in 5Ks because no one's ever gone slow enough to make that rule a necessity. So I assure you, you can do it. And what I love most about finish lines is, you know, when the first finisher comes through, there's usually a handful of people there and we clap and we're excited. And as an announcer, it thrills me to say, here comes our number one female, Wanda Weatherby. Hooray for Wanda. That's very nice. And to shower her with congratulations over her efforts. But then you get someone like me coming through the finish line. I'm their top 20%. You know, I'm not super fast, I'm not super slow. I'm somewhere in the middle, but no one cares to see Fitz Kohler cross the finish line. And you know why? Because it's expected out of me. People see me and they go, oh, whatever. She does that. It's no big deal. But the big deal of every single race I've ever attended, participated in, announced, 100%, the biggest deal of any given race is the last 20% of the finishers. And the reason being is because we know when they cross the finish line, it's a life-changing moment. And that's special. It's hard to describe to you, but it is such a special thing. And you will go to a half marathon, a full marathon, and you will see people 400 pounds crossing a finish line. You will see people in their 80s and 90s crossing a finish line. You will see first-timers. You will see pregnant women. You will see broken people. You will see all of it. And what I love the most is that they struggled. They had to work hard. And as opposed to the top guy and the top girl who are in the greatest shape in the world, and good for them, I'm not putting that down, but they do that and that's what they do and good for them. It's like when I was a great kickboxer and I was jumping and spinning and kicking people in the head all day. Yay! It wasn't outlandish because it was something that I was good at, and that almost made it less impressive. When you see the final 20% of any finish line, you know that it's a life-changing moment. These people had to actually work hard. They were out on the course at some point and they winced and something hurt or they struggled or they were huffing and puffing, yet they kept moving forward. And that's what makes it great, is that there was suffering involved and they were challenged. And at some point they might have thought of quitting, but they didn't. I don't think the number one guy ever thought of quitting. But the last person, there were probably lots of doubts going through that person's mind, but they kept moving forward. And so that is who I think about every single day. I think of Brian and I think of Katie and I think of Heather. And I will always think of Heather. And I think of all of you. I just do. I think of you. And so if you think you're alone in this, you're crazy wrong. And I know for many of you, I'm this lady with a voice and a big mouth who doesn't live anywhere near you. And I get that. But I am here for you. And every day I wake up trying to put out something to help you move forward. I've built up a wealth of resources on fitness.com. And it's all just to make you go, yeah, you know what? I didn't like this recipe, but I'll take this other recipe Fitz has, and maybe I'll be able to encourage you to find one healthy meal you like, and then maybe a second, and then maybe I'll give you an exercise on strength training your low back so it's not in pain anymore and you can do more stuff. You know, I'm with you. We have so many people that are with you. I encourage you to surround yourself with like-minded people. If you're living with jerks, well, then get out of the house and go find some other really nice people to be with. Go find other strugglers, other people who are persevering. Sign up at a gym. Sign up for a belly dancing class. Go take tap dancing lessons. Go join a swim club, even if you're the worst. Because you know what? Someone's got to be the worst. And what do people do to the worst person? They baby them and they help them along because it makes them feel like a hero. So go let somebody else be your hero today. Go be somebody's hero today. Maybe you just need to reach out your hand. Maybe you're already there. Maybe that's what you're here for. I'm with you. I had to tell you one last thing before I go. I got another nice picture today, or this week. I got from Russ Stringer. And Russ, in February, contacted me. He had just run another marathon, and he was in a hell of a lot of pain. And his wife said, honey, I forbid you to do any more marathons until you lose 50 pounds. And so the very next day, I got a message from Ross that says, Fitz, my wife won't let me do any marathons till I lose 50 pounds. Can you help? And I said, of course. And I sent him the formula, and he started losing weight. I don't know if he was, I think he was in a 2XL shirt, but he sent me a beautiful picture of him on Wednesday morning, and he was wearing this horrible logo. I think it's a Florida State Seminole logo on a collared shirt, but it said, it's a large. And oh, he looks so cute. Oh my gosh. His face makes him look like a totally different person than he was when he was 30 something pounds heavier, but the smile and the pride, and he really is a hunky guy. He just looks great. He sent me this wonderful selfie and I said, oh my God, you look amazing. And then he said, I lied. And I looked closer and the tag said medium. And so, Russ, you're a medium. I'm so happy for you. Hooray! Confetti everywhere. We're having confetti for the medium. So, it's been a great week. I've had a loss for sure. And again, I will remember Heather and the impact she made on me forever. But I want you to know you all make an impact on me every time. Every time. Keep sharing your success. Keep sending your comments. Thank you so much for liking this podcast. If you'd like to communicate, you can follow me at Fitzness on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere else. Visit me. Let's chat. Let me know exactly what I can do to help make your life easier, and I will. All right, team, it's your turn to get to work.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children a chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.